Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now though, what's the difference between a nimbostratus and an alto cumulus cloud? What about a horseshoe vortex or a contrail? Well, it's something that my next guest sets out to explain in his new book, Cloud Spotting for Beginners. Its author is Gavin Pretor-Pinney, and he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Gavin.
Hi, Claire.
It's lovely to talk to you. You've produced what I described to somebody as a holiday for your brain.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Well, it's a beautiful book. I mean, the illustrations and the descriptions, and it's so accessible as well. And you're reminded immediately when you open it that we often forget to look up, don't we? And that's one of the things you're trying to remind us to do.
Yeah, because it's funny how when something's in your vision the whole time, like the sky is, it's easy to become blind to it. And that's something at the Cloud Appreciation Society, which I set up 18 years ago, we've always felt, is that the sky is so in our vision the whole time that we can forget to even look up and notice it. So the book is really about reminding people to pay attention to and understand maybe a bit more about the sky and clouds.
And can I ask you how you came to set up the Cloud Appreciation Society?
Sure. Well, it was the sky and the clouds are something I've always felt get a bad rap. People complain about them too much. And I've always felt that you only need to sort of stop and think about them for a moment. And you realize, well, the sky is one of the most beautiful parts of nature. It's ever changing. It's nature's abstract art. And so I felt, they shouldn't get such a bad press. You know, we talk about someone having a cloud hanging over them or a cloud on the horizon, you know, these negative associations. Well, maybe we feel over the British Isles, and, you know, you maybe people in Ireland feel that we get a lot of clouds, but, you know, think where we would be without them. It wouldn't be actually so good, because they help to cool the planet. They bring us fresh water. They they clear the atmosphere of dust and pollution. You know, we should appreciate clouds, and that's really why I set the society up.
Well, then let's move to the book and cloud spotting for beginners. And you start with the 10 main clouds. We have 10 different types, are we? That's where you want us to start on our journey here.
Yeah, and those are the ones you might have heard of. So clouds like the cumulus cloud, that's the Simpsons cloud, you know, the cartoon cloud, forms on a sunny day, the fair weather cloud. It's like the generic one, really. If you close your eyes, you're probably thinking of a cumulus. And then you might compare that. Another of the 10 main cloud types is the cirrus, the high, wispy ice crystals that are cascading from the upper reaches of the troposphere. They look like brush strokes across the blue, very contrasted to the cumulonimbus storm cloud, which reaches up maybe 8 miles into the sky, spreads out at the top in an enormous anvil shape, and produces thunder and lightning and sometimes hail. Mm-hmm. So those are the 10 main types you might have heard of.
So, and these ones that you think might have a bad rep, these are the lower clouds, the ones that we're very familiar with here.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one that really is, you know, you might want to boo when it appears is the nimbostratus, the one that you mentioned in the intro. Mm-hmm. The nimbostratus is the one that gives all the other clouds a bad name. It's a sort of low, thick, wet blanket of the sky, and it produces rain or snow, but it's continuous. So the cloud hangs around a long time, like all the layer clouds do, because this is one of the layer clouds, and it hangs around a long time. And this one is one that produces quite a lot of precipitation, which can persist. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not the one that we appreciate most at the Cloud Appreciation Society, but it features in the book because, you know, if you were in an area or, you know, in an arid region of the world, the nimbostratus would you be your best friend?
Well, there you go. Now, there was a beautiful pink sky over the east of the country here earlier in the week, and the clouds were like rolling velvety hills. So will you explain to me how that happens, Gavin?
Yeah, so a pink sky, when the sky looks dramatically pink or golden, of course, it's when the sun's low on the horizon. So I don't know whether that was morning or evening, but it's when the sun is shining up onto the underside of clouds usually. And that is a moment of magic when it comes to the sky, because we instinctively know it's a fleeting moment, a sunrise or a sunset. And the reason is because if the sky is clear off to where the sun is on the horizon, it can shine across the sky to the clouds above you, but it can only shine up and illuminate their bases with the golden and ruby hues of sunrise or sunset for a moment, because the angle's right only for a brief period of time as the sun is near the horizon to light up the undersides. And that's why a sunset or a sunrise feels fleeting. It feels a moment to stop and pause and enjoy that and be in the present for it. And that's a lot of the philosophy of the Society of Cloud Spotting. And the philosophy of this book is to be present and to enjoy the moment and to acknowledge the fact that the sky is something that brings people together. You know, nobody has a big argument about whether sunrise is a beautiful thing. Yes. It's something we all agree on. And in a time of division, I think those things are worth celebrating.
Well, it's interesting that you describe, you know, that fleeting moment when the light and the cloud is interacting, because a lot of what you tell us in this book is centred around the fact that if you look up and you see a cloud being formed, it's likely to change very quickly. If you take the time to study it, it's always moving. It mightn't feel like the cloud is breaking up sometimes, but it's always changing, isn't it?
Yeah, and actually it's not an easy change or movement to detect. You look at the sky and you think, unless it's really wild, stormy weather, you look at the sky and you think, oh, it's all sort of stationary pretty much, the clouds. But then you only need to look away for a brief period and look back, maybe comparing them to something fixed, like a tree or something, and you'll see that they've moved. Same happens when you find a shape in the clouds. You know, you see a cloud that looks like some animal or something like that, and you tell your friend, and then by the time you both look up at it, it's sort of gone. So they are fleeting. They are, you know, the most ephemeral of nature's displays. And for that reason, because they're only here so briefly, for some reason there's an opposite and it makes the sky feel eternal.
Now, I went through this book with my son, who's 10, and of course we had to go straight to the tornado section because all he wanted to know was what have clouds got to do with tornadoes. So you might explain that to us, Gavin.
Yeah, well, it's the storm cloud, the cumulonimbus, the one that I mentioned as one of the 10 main types. That is part of the ingredients required for a tornado to form. These actually can combine together into a kind of mob behavior, these cumulonimbus clouds, when they act as individual cells within a larger storm system. And if those cells get really quite organized in terms of the flow of air into and out of them, you end up with what's known as a supercell storm. And this can have a large rotating central region to it. It's called a mesocyclone. This is really the base of this is where you're going to be looking for a tornado. And one particular part of it extends down. It's known as a wall cloud. And the wall cloud, or murus is the Latin name. They've all got these Latin names. That is the breeding ground for tornadoes, because that's where the rotation beneath this cloud picks up most energy and where it can take on a most vorticity. And that is where a tuber, it's known as, it's like a finger of cloud extending down from the base of the storm system, can develop. The tuber is the first sign of a tornado born within the wall cloud of a supercell storm.
We have an invitation which has just arrived here, or a suggestion rather, for you. Could you suggest to Gavin to visit County Kildare and drive across the Curra via the racecourse from Newbridge to Kildare? And the reason you're being invited to do this, Gavin, is because the panoramic views of the cloud formations coming from the west are astounding, especially when it's an oncoming storm. So that might be something you'll consider doing. Gavin, can I thank you so much for talking talking to us about this. And I would highly recommend your book because it is a breath of fresh air. It is a little break for the brain, a little holiday. The illustrations are beautiful by William Grill, and your explanations are so thoroughly accessible. So thank you very much for talking to us. The book is available now. It's called Cloud Spotting for Beginners by Gavin Pretor-Pinney and William Grill. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.